everybody knows what's going on during this tragic, sad week in America. As I have shared with you, we're living in perilous times, dangerous times, weird times, if you will. And news is coming so hot and heavy and so fast that it's coming on top of news. Oftentimes, similar news in different situations. And so, by the grace of God, briefly, I want to wrap up my three-day series, a three-homily series, simply titled "Dr. Huxtable, Bill Cosby Has Been Found Out, His Sin Has Found Him Out, and He Is Reaping What He Has Sown." But it does not stop there. A word to the wise, including Judge Kavanaugh, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Hybels, President Trump, and others. When you are accused of something, the best thing to do is to admit that you are a sinner, that you have done evil in your life, like the rest of us, and that you are capable of doing evil things, even if you did not do the thing you're accused of. Everyone is still standing. Numbers 32:23. As we have been expounding upon over the past 2 days, behold, the reason why you need to be humble, and our whole point is that people need to be humble, be they in the church. They need to cease from their pride and their arrogancy, even in the church, in politics, in entertainment. For as you are seeing how things are working out with Bill Cosby and others, those who are strident, arrogant, proud, lying and defending themselves, get really messed up. Others who have done similar things, if they came clean and they admitted they were wrong and apologized, people are not treating them as harshly. But please understand from the word of God, Numbers 32:23, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Galatians 6:7-9, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That includes you, that includes me, that's everybody, from the Pope on down, from the President on down, that is everybody. I want to add a passage that Christians know and pastors know. Politicians and Supreme Court nominees may not know. But evil is present with each and every one of us at all times. And we need to stop lying and acting like it's not. Verse 19 of Romans 7. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. sin dwells in each and every one of us, unfortunately and sadly. And to act like we have not sinned, as we have some in the church, male and female, doing today, and to act like we're not capable of sinning is asinine. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, my God, through Jesus, help us. Evil is present with me. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word that is very honest with us. But unfortunately, some of us don't want to accept your true and holy word and want to make people think that we are innocent little angels. And this is not just in politics, Lord, it's in your church. Sadly, it is in Christian families. There are husbands and there are wives, fathers and mothers, who give off the aura and the attitude and spirit that they have never sinned in their lives, that sin does not dwell with them, that they're not even tempted. They're holier than thou. They're self-righteous, even in the family, the first estate, even in the church, the second estate, and now in the government, the third estate. And so therefore, is among the people, the fourth estate, and in the media, the fifth estate. And so, Holy Father God, have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are, for we're so wicked and evil, we won't even acknowledge that we are wicked and evil. We want to give off the impression that we're all little choir boys and choir girls. We have never done evil in our lives, not even in high school. We've never thought evil. We want to act like evil does not dwell with us and that evil is not present with us when you have told us it is. And so as your word says, let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, have your Holy Spirit to descend upon this earth. Move upon the hearts of people to be honest, to confess their sins, to admit how sinful they have been, to admit they have sin in their lives, and that evil is evil, not only sin, but evil is present with us. And Lord, we'll have a revival, I believe, like never before. And we will forgive each other, apologize to each other, hug each other's necks, because we will realize the truth that is ever before us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated very briefly. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to worry today because I can't take long. I have another engagement. Over the past year or so, ladies and gentlemen, the proof of these three passages has played out before our eyes in real time and in living color, even and especially today. While the country is riveted in front of television sets and airports, in coffee shops, in hospitals, on the job, on iPhones and Android phones, on Kindles and on iPads, etc. People are watching a saga and a tragedy happening in our country. And some are watching it like they're watching the Super Bowl, pulling for this team or that team. It is sad as hell itself for us to be in this place. As I speak, this is going on. It seems that there has been a steady stream of prominent individuals, powerful, wealthy, famous, well-to-do people who, from what we have known of them, are successful, productive contributors, big-time contributors to society. Bill Cosby, case in point, who was called for many years America's dad. What a privilege, particularly a man whose ancestors were slaves. A black man was called America's dad. White kids looked up to him. Black kids looked up to him, red and yellow and brown. White fathers, dads, read his books on fatherhood. But now he's sitting in jail, largely because he did not understand these three passages of scripture. Being accused, these men, these great men, being accused of rape, sexual assault, sexual harassment, or aiding such behavior from 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, even 40 years ago. Many of these individuals are respectable, gray-haired men who have a long list of amazing accomplishments. Yet they, along with many others, have been laid low by these accusations, most of which have stood up under intense scrutiny. And quite frankly, I would love to see Judge Kavanaugh become a Supreme Court justice. But quite frankly, I would not want to be sitting across from this angelic, innocent woman who sounds so authentic to the point of tears. Because if she's telling the truth, it's a sad matter. And right now, we have not heard from Judge Kavanaugh, but right now she's winning at this point, just from the sympathy aspect of things. She just does not look like a woman who would make this up. We don't rejoice at the downfall of anyone. Quite to the contrary, some of us, many of us as Christians, we're pulling for such men as Trump to get it together and to come clean and to be a big man, because he can become a great president if he would admit his wrongdoing and his lies. We want to see people, true Christians want to see people succeed. We are optimistic. And true Christians are willing to forgive things you might have done in the past, not only as a teenager, but as a grown man. If you would just come clean and show some remorse, apologize to somebody. If God has blessed you with wealth, take care of them for the rest of their life, if you've done them wrong. You can be a big man by humbling yourself and saying, you know what? I did wrong. I apologize. And if you don't want me to be whatever I'm up for, then so be it. But my conscience is more important to me than a job. Can somebody say amen? We need more statesmen, not only in politics, in Congress, and in the White House, but in the church house. This is about us first, Christians. And we don't like to hear about ourselves, but we're some of the biggest hypocrites in the history of the world. We have passed the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We're so wicked, so sneaky, so devilish. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time, and you certainly can't fool God. Can somebody say amen? And by the way, you cannot fool a praying church. While you're thinking that you're getting over and pastor being involved with Sylvia, your secretary, there's an old mother in the church who sits in the corner. She loves you. She prays for you. But she's known all along you had a thing for Sylvia. And there are women who can tell things like that. And she's not saying anything to you because she loves you. She wants you to pull out of it. She has not told anybody else either, but she knows. And you don't want her to start telling others. When someone's sin finds them out, beloved, when someone reaps what they have sown, we simply see one of the immutable laws of God, God's universe, in action. More importantly, we see the importance of confessing our sins, our weaknesses, our failures. We need more pastors, more politicians, more professional people to admit that, I'm talking about men, that you have a weakness for beautiful women. Be honest. Tell the truth and shame the devil. That'll help you. That'll help your wife. That'll help your children. That will help the people that work for you. And you might think that they may think you are a low-down dog. They won't. They'll have more respect for you. I can't explain to you how that works, but it works. So more importantly, we see the importance of leaders confessing and forsaking their sins, admitting on their own their failures, their sins, their faults, before they are found out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Someone said a long time ago, the will of God grinds slow, but it grinds show. I like that little quote, and I'd like for my technician to just give us a long poem. The apologist, the Indian apologist, I forget his name, he uses it quite a bit. I'd like my technician to get that about the scaffold, just that section. God gives us space to repent, and we need to take advantage of that. To confess our sins, our weaknesses, and repent. And you'll be amazed how people will change their attitude towards you once you admit your sinfulness and your weakness. your failures and your faults. Move up forward. Move up forward. During these times, we must be careful not to become like David before Nathan. But many of us are just like David. The prophet Nathan came to David reporting a story of a rich man who had many sheep who stole the only little lamb of his poor neighbor. Sad to say, we don't have many prophets who are willing to go to the king today and tell him about himself. Respectfully, of course, but to tell him about himself nonetheless. The Bible says that David burned with anger against the man who had stolen the one little lamb of the other man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives," put the Lord in it, "the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." Nathan famously turned the story around on David, declaring to King David, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thou art the man." These words rang down through history. "Why did you despise the word of the Lord by doing what is evil in his eyes? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife to be your own." When David went up on his balcony that day, he didn't go looking necessarily for evil. Maybe he went up there to pray. He didn't know this fine, voluptuous, fat black woman was going to be down there bathing. He had no clue. But that's how the devil gets us. That's how sin gets us. He might have gone up there to write a psalm. He didn't go looking for a woman to steal from her husband. And that's another little thing about sin. Sin unravels into bad ways. Sin would take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, make you pay more than you wanted to pay. Sin is a bad boy. But evil was present with him, with David, as evil is present with you and me. But for the grace of God, there go I. I will admit to you, I've admitted it to my wife. I have told my wife about temptations I didn't have to tell her about. I have shared it from the pulpit, my only temptation, a beautiful woman. That's my only temptation. I have no interest in money. My only temptation is fine women. If the devil ever gets me, that's what he's going to get me on. And looks like I'm not the only one. And surely Satan had a hand in orchestrating things so that that temptation was present at just the right time. We would do well to admit that evil, Mr. President, that evil, Mr. Judge, that evil, Mr. Congressman, that evil, Pastor, that evil, Preacher, is present with us every hour, every minute of every day. We know what our weaknesses are, don't we? We know the sin that so easily besets us. We need to be honest. I ask oftentimes smug and proud Christians, What's the sin that so easily besets you? What is that weakness in your life? And I pinpoint it. I know oftentimes what it is, but they refuse to tell the truth. They bristle. They get angry. They get mad. What are you getting at, preacher? And these things are not so to be, my brothers and my sisters. We need to be humble and admit that we have done wrong. We have thought wrong. Yes, we have been tempted. Yes, there are people in the church who will tell you to your face and not blink an eye, I am not even tempted with sin. They are a lie, their feet ain't made, and their heart pumps peanut butter. Perhaps we have even had the experience of removing ourselves from situations because we know that a perfect storm of circumstances, like with David, can cause us to fall. For example, the pastor who refuses the opportunity to counsel a female church member alone in his office. He says, I know this woman is in a marriage on the verge of divorce. I know she is not just looking for counseling but comfort, and I know my flesh will want to take advantage of that opportunity, tell the truth, preacher, and shame the devil. But I will not counsel this woman unless my wife and I can counsel her and her husband together in the same room with a glass wall. Can somebody say amen? Let's get real, people. I recall a story when I was pastoring a church. Man, the church was growing, things were booming, everything was just going quite well. And one of the finest women who walks on God's green earth, I mean voluptuous in every way, married to a great guy, and they were just eager to serve the Lord and eager to help the church and so forth. He was very trusting of her, and that's always good to see. And I remember one day I was pulling into the church, and the young lady drove in behind me and got out of her car with her voluptuous self and said, Pastor White, I noticed that the church does not have a church secretary, and I would love to be the church secretary. You don't have to worry about paying me or anything like that. I burst out laughing at the devil. I said, look at the devil. I burst out laughing. She didn't know what I was laughing about. I said, no, ma'am, that's okay. It will be all right. The devil is a lie. Somebody ought to say amen. How about the politician who hires a female staffer knowing that he was more interested in her looks than her professional skills? And how many pastors do that? How many doctors do that? How many lawyers do that? How many prominent men do that? The girl can't even type. Yes, you're hired. You keep on wearing a dress like that, you'll be just fine. The devil is a lie, and sin, evil, is present with you, sir. He knows that he is being tempted every day, and that she comes twisting by his desk, bending over. And at some point he says, my reputation is too valuable. I will have to find a way to let this woman go, lest the temptation turn into sin and ruin my life and my family. Or how about the businessman who says, no, I won't go on the corporate retreat because one of my single female co-workers who I really like is also going. And my wife, who I don't have a great relationship with right now, doesn't want to go with me. And if I go alone, things could escalate very quickly and result in a mess that lasts for years. How about the woman who struggles with drugs and drunkenness, who says, no, I won't go with my friends to happy hour, to that party tonight, because alcohol will be served, and in a moment of weakness, I could take one sip too many, and then I will be a mess for the next few days. At every turn in our lives, ladies and gentlemen, temptation presents itself and evil is present with us. You don't have to go looking for it. It's right there in you. It dwells in you. We need to be honest about it. We need to be honest about that fact. Evil is always present with us. We are all capable of doing anything, and we need to be honest. If you want other human beings to believe you and take you seriously and forgive you, we need to stop acting like we are never tempted, that we have always been a choir boy, always in prayer, always reading the Bible. Get real, man. And quite frankly, if Mr. Kavanaugh does not get real very quick today and be very honest, not some trumped up phony fake anger, it better be real, because people will be able to see right through him. We need to stop acting like we are so holy that we could not even conceive of doing the evil that someone else has done. We need to admit that evil is present with us. Amen, somebody. Humble yourself. See, this is why God hates pride. He hates pride because this is what it leads to. This phoniness, this fakeness, this foolishness. We can't do much about Bill Cosby or even Brett Kavanaugh, but pray for them, or Harvey Weinstein or Bill Hybels or even President Trump. But what we can do, we can pray for them, of course. But what we can do, other than that, is realize that through their highly publicized accusations and alleged crimes, God just might be pointing a finger at us. And I believe he is. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman. Thou art the teenager, or the young man, or the child. You have despised my word. You have done what is evil in my sight. You are a phony. You are a hypocrite. You are a liar. You are a proud, devilish person. Let the finger of God point it at us, cause us to examine our own hearts, to see where we have sinned against the Lord, or sowed in the field of the flesh. Let us confess our sins and repent before the Lord, before our sin finds us out, and we be made to reap what we have sown. Allow me to share that little poem, that apologist. What is his name? Zacharias, what's the first name? Robert Zacharias. He likes to use this, and I love it. He'll rap back and say, though the cause of evil prosper, yet the truth alone is strong. Though her portion be the scaffold, and upon the throne be wrong, yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Amen, somebody. Now, beloved, now that you have acknowledged your sin, or you have at least heard me tell you, you need to acknowledge your sin. You need to confess your sins. You need to repent. You need to tell the truth on yourself. If you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, No matter how powerful you may think you might be, you need to humble yourself down and trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is the place that you will reap if you don't trust Christ as Savior and repent of your sins. I'm not glad about telling you that, but that's the truth. However, I am glad about telling you this. There is good news. Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than he did about heaven, Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than anybody else in the Bible, also preached this. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And pray and ask him to save you. For the Bible makes it very clear in Romans 10:9 and 13, that if you shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, it is that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer right now. It's called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Humble yourself down, admit you're a sinner, and you need a Savior. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. In fact, evil is present with me, and I know it. I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by dishonoring my parents, by taking your holy name in vain, and many other sins. And I understand that because of my sins, I will reap hell for eternity if I do not trust Christ as my Savior. So, Lord, now I believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life going forward. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you in spite of your sins. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer.